1.5 degrees Celsius. That's the increase in the Earth's temperature that scientists have set as the outer limit before climate change starts to radically affect human societies. The UN's latest report on climate change, issued this week, found governments aren't doing nearly enough to avoid this fate. But it also finds there are still things we can do about it, including changes to one of our biggest sources of climate-polluting emissions, transportation. Paulina Jaramillo, an engineering and public policy professor at Carnegie Mellon University, was one of the lead authors of that section of the report. She spoke with the Allegheny Front's Reed Fraser.
What are some of the ways that your group found could be the biggest sources of emissions reductions in transportation?
We know that there's a role for demand management, like demand-side programs to reduce demand that can also help with mitigation. So on the demand side, and this a lot has to do not only with decisions consumers make, but also with the way we design cities and operate cities. So walking and biking and using more public transport, that can help. But that still means that's not going to do everything. So we still need technologies. And for land-based transport, the report finds that electrification or electric vehicles provide the largest potential for mitigation. And it isn't just like the cars we usually think about when we talk about like within consumer things about electric vehicles. It's also buses, rail, and it's also in developing countries, it's also 2- and 3-wheelers, which are a large share of the vehicle fleet in developing countries.
So shipping and aviation account for 11% and 12% of carbon emissions from transportation, respectively. Can you talk a little bit about what kinds of alternative fuels are needed to decarbonize these forms of transportation?
This time in the report, it's the first time that the transport sector actually has specific sections on shipping and aviation separately. Those are the hard to decarbonize sectors. Electrification of that, there might be some role for electrification of small short flights and like ferries, but for intercontinental long big airplanes and ships, electrification is not a likely solution. There's operational and like design to improve efficiency of the vessels, but we point to hydrogen-based fuels and derivatives are pretty important for decarbonizing shipping and aviation.
I mean, a lot of times these reports come out and they create gloomy headlines. And by now, I think a lot of people are used to those headlines. What do you want people to take away from this report?
I think it's the same thing we've been trying to say again, like you said, for the last couple of reports. We need to take action now. And the window for actually getting to for 1.5 degree being technically possible is closing. And it's closing quickly. And if in the next 5 years we don't take action, the next assessment report is going to say 1.5 degrees is not possible anymore. So I don't think that message is drastically different. It just hasn't translated to action.
You mentioned 1.5 degrees Celsius. What's the significance of that as a benchmark for global warming?
So 1.5 degrees Celsius, it's still an increase, but it's where the earlier reports suggest some of those impacts are still manageable. 2 degrees is still better, and there's still, I think, mitigation options. Some places will really suffer more than others under the 2-degree target. And above 2 degrees, it's just bad.
At what scale do we need to sort of deal with this in order to avoid 1.5 degrees? Like, what are we talking about?
We're talking about a 50% reduction in emissions by 2030 from today.
So that sounds like a lot.
A lot.
And do you think we can get there somehow?
Technically, we have the technologies. The financing chapter actually says the capital is there for supporting this transition. So technically, it's possible.
I feel like there's a but coming.
I think the question is, will we make the decisions? Will we make the investments? The but is it practically possible? And I think, is it practically possible? It is a much more open, uncertain question. People and like friends and family, they ask me like, okay, what can I do? I personally think that the biggest impact is because we need systemic change. Like personal change will help, but we need systemic change. And so I think that like in the US, the biggest thing people can do is mobilize and organize and really push for action. And one of the things the report notes is that in the absence of central government policies, a lot of the decisions on this issue have gone to a local level. And cities are taking action, and states can have policies. And so mobilizing and organizing for action can be at the local level.
Has doing this UN process, how has it sort of changed your outlook on these things?
Through the process, I felt this way a couple of times of where I was like, we already know this. We already said this. We've been saying it for years. It's not like in the transport sector, there's this like brand new solution that no one has thought about before that now suddenly is going to make this happen. We've been talking about electric vehicles and hydrogen and biofuels for years, and we're still talking about those. Some things have improved, like the technologies have improved, costs have decreased, but I don't think there's something that radically changed where I was like, okay, this is brand new and it radically changed my view. It just, I mean, honestly, sometimes it's a little depressing that it reinforces the information we've said. We're now putting it out there again. Hopefully something happens.
I mean, do you take away any sort of positive signs from what we've seen in terms of little steps that have been taken to decarbonize different sectors, especially transportation?
I mean, I do, because electrification is becoming more popular. You now see a lot more electric vehicles in the road. You have more models. I mean, the fact that there's an F-150 that is electric, right? F-150 has been the most popular vehicle in the US for 20 years or more, right? And the fact that there's an electric option, I think that sends a pretty big message of like, this is serious, like this is not a technology that will pass, like the companies are investing on these. So I think that's like that is progress. And the infrastructure bill that passed last year included support for electrification. So we have made progress.
Paulina Jaramillo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Paulina Jaramillo is an engineering and public policy professor at Carnegie Mellon University and a lead author of the transportation piece of the UN's latest climate report. She spoke with the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier.